ప్రకాశ దల్వాస్య యోగమాయ సమావృత బుధోయం అభిజానాతి లోకమామాధ్యమమయం నాం ప్రకాశ సర్వాస్య యోగమాయ సమావృత బుధోయం అభిజానాతి లోకమామాధ్యమమయం. Krishna says, I never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. So Prabhupada explained in the purport, it may be argued that since Krishna was present on this earth and was visible to everyone, then why isn't he manifest to everyone now? But actually he is not manifest to everyone. When Krishna was present, there were only a few people who could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of God. In the assembly of the Kurus, when Shishupala spoke against Krishna being elected president of the assembly, Bhishma supported him and proclaimed him to be the Supreme God. Similarly, the Pandavas and a few others knew that he was the Supreme, but not everyone. He was not revealed to the non-devotees and the common man. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that but for his pure devotees, all men consider him to be like themselves. He was manifest only to his devotees as the reservoir of all pleasure. But to others, to unintelligent non-devotees, he was covered by his internal potency. In the prayers of Kunti in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yoga Maya, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. This Yoga Maya curtain is also confirmed in Isha Upanishad, mantra 15, in which the devotee prays, Hiram Mayena Patvena Sadyasya Pitam Mukam Tatvam Pushana Bhavri Satyam Dhamaya Dristaya. O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore, I pray that you will always maintain me. Your transcendental form is covered by the Yoga Maya. The Brahma Jyoti is the covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Satchidananda Vigraha, your eternal form of bliss and knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his transcendental form of bliss and knowledge is covered by the internal potency of the Brahma Jyoti, and the less intelligent impersonalists cannot see the Supreme on this account. Also in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.4.7 there is this prayer by Brahma. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Supersoul, O Master of all mystery, who can calculate your potency and pastimes in this world? You are always expanding your internal potency, and therefore no one can understand you. Learned scientists and learned scholars can examine the atomic constitution of this material world, or even the planets, but still they are unable to calculate your energy and potency. Although you are present before them, the Supreme Personality of Lord Krishna is not only unborn, but also avyaya. Avyaya means inexhaustible. His eternal form is bliss and knowledge, and his energies are all inexhaustible. So Krishna says, I am never manifested to the foolish and unintelligent, for them I am covered by my internal potency. So it is said that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in the material world, then he appears in a very bewildering way. Because although the Lord appears as a normal human being, as Krishna says, avajananti mamunha, that those who are foolish, they consider me to be an ordinary human being. So, when Krishna comes, then this manifestation of Krishna's pastimes are very bewildering for those who are embodied. Because generally, everyone in the material world thinks in relative terms, just like we are always thinking in relationship to something else. All of our knowledge is related. It is not independent knowledge. It is relative knowledge, related. That means that just like I heard something at school, related to me by my teacher. It was given to me by my teacher. Or I heard something from my mother or my father. That's why they call it inform. Something that goes in, isn't it? Information. Something goes in and then you formulate in your mind, formate it. Just like they have in computers, format, you format. So, formation. We take in everything in the material world is coming in. So these senses are various senses. They are for capturing or for measuring or, if you like, understanding material energy. So through our senses, we are trying to somehow or other capture some sense gratification in the material world. So all of our knowledge is relevant to our particular type of body. Just like in the animal kingdom, there are no Einsteins. We have not met any Einsteins in the rabbit world, isn't it? There are only Einsteins in the human plane. But there may be many greater brains than Einstein. But generally, you don't expect a donkey, a hog, or a dog to be an Einstein, to be very intelligent. Because their knowledge is relevant to their body. Just like there are some species, they are very good at doing certain things. There are badgers. They can dig very deep. They have moles. There are what they call them, they build dams. Beavers. They can build dams in the water. So they have every animal, just like a spider can very mystically create a web. We can't make a web. If we try to make a web, it will be impossible. The tiny little spider, he can make a very nice web. And we see that even a tiny insect can fly. We cannot fly. If we try to fly, if we jump off this roof, we will get a sore head, isn't it? When we fall down. But you may think that, well, if this little fly can fly, I can do it too. Why not? So every different type of species, they have a particular type of knowledge. Some know how to fly, some know how to swim. Just like the shark can move. I don't know how many miles an hour. Very, very fast in the wind. Who knows how fast? 60 miles an hour in the water. Now, if you try to go even half a mile an hour, or 1 mile an hour, you'll find it difficult on the water. But they can move very sharp. How did you know that? You've been living in the water? Huh? So, this ability, just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the ability in man. So, every particular species has a particular type of knowledge. Some, they know how to bore deep or to fly high or to swim fast. Others, they have very expertise, like ants. They can create huge networks of arrangement. There are so many different. These types of knowledge are all relevant to the body. They're not, just like it is no good if an ant understanding computer science. What good will it be if an ant knows computer science? You say, what good? Will it be any good for the ant? Because the ant has relevant knowledge. Knowledge which is related to its body. So everything in the material world is relative to our particular type of body. So therefore, this human form of life, Tata Brahma Jignasya, means that now we have human body. So, what is the difference? Human body means that we have to search up, we have to search after Tathagata Brahma Jignasya. Now is the opportunity. The golden opportunity of human life means that I can search for higher knowledge. You see, I can search for higher knowledge. But unfortunately, everyone is searching for relative knowledge. They want to increase their bodily comforts. That means knowledge related to their body. So people want more nice soft seats
just like we are sitting on nice seats. It requires some brain, isn't it? It would look funny if you went into a field and a cow had made himself a mattress, a big springy mattress, and he was bouncing up and down. So we can understand that the knowledge, what we call knowledge in the material world, is not really knowledge. It is actually called relativity. Things which are related to our material entanglement. So all of this knowledge, just like we are very interested in economic development, we are interested in developing different types of economies in order to bring about the highest types of sense gratification. We want to have superior sense gratification, just like one country is competing with the other country. Gross national production, isn't it? That's how they study happiness. Actually, the economists, they are the gurus of society. They study how happy a society is by its gross national production, how much it is producing, how much what we call money is in circulation, how many televisions each family has, how many washing machines, how many nice houses we've got, so many different things. So according to this competition, each society is trying to outdo the other society in order to have various types of advancement of knowledge. So we see that in very sophisticated societies, American society, Japanese society, they have all sorts of gadgetry, all sorts of things. They have electronic this and electronic that, so many different things. In order to increase the scope of sense gratification. Just like if you're sitting here looking out the window, you get bored. But if you're sitting in front of a big screen, and there's so many different things happening on the screen, then you feel satisfied. The screen is giving you nice service. So you are satisfied to sit there for hours and hours and hours. So that type of activity is relevant to, you'll find that everything on the screen is related to body, isn't it? Everything. The stories of cowboys and Indians, and you think that, yeah, I could be out there with Roy Rogers or Billy the Kid and going over the plains, chasing the Indians, and the excitement and adventure. Or there's another one about the boy meets girl, falls in love, goes on a big ship and it sinks. Very exciting stuff. They like to see the table is jittering and the water coming in and everybody drowning. There they go, all dead. So these are all related to the body. If you study always, you'll find that all of these things related to the body directly or extendedly, extended bodily consciousness. So therefore, when Krishna comes in the material world, then people think that this is another extension of bodily activity. In other words, Krishna has a body, so he must also be another extension of Maya, another, production of the material energy. Because the material energy is so powerful that we don't see anything within the energy which is not produced by the material energy. Everything you see is working on the laws, isn't it? If you study, you'll find everything works on the laws, very specific laws. Just like your seeing is working under certain conditions. It's not that you are above the conditions. Just like if we close the curtains, then you can't see out the window. The condition for you seeing is that there is a particular circumstance, just like if the room becomes too dark, you can't see anything, even your own hand, you can't see. So as long as the conditions are there, in other words, if there's sufficient light, if there's no obstruction, and if your eyesight's good, just like as you get older, your muscles in the eye become weaker and weaker, your vision becomes more blurred, then you need to take shelter of some glass condition, magnified condition. In that ordinary condition, you can't see properly, so then you take shelter of something which magnifies glass. in order to support your seeing. So everything in the material world requires a certain support. You see, we are supporting ourselves, just like we need food, we need light. Unless we get the support of food, we'll die, isn't it? We are vitally in need of food. It's not that we eat food just for the sake of pleasure. We are vitally in need of it because without the support of Mother Earth, the vegetables, the fruits, the milk, then our body will wither and die, become useless. So we are reliant upon Earth for support. That means that without that condition, without the support of Mother Earth, then we shall not survive. We are in need of support of air. Without air, we can't actually exist. We must have air. So therefore, the air is supporting us. We need the sun. The sun is also supporting us by giving us light, by giving us heat, by giving us electricity. Isn't it? We require that. So we need so many different conditions to be favorable. And when those conditions are unfavorable, then they have adverse effect. When it's too hot, too wet, too cold, then automatically, if there's just a little bit, just like the body temperature, all of us have the same bodily temperature. If it increases too much, we die. Isn't it? So if you study the way that the living entity is existing in the material world, he's existing under various conditions of life. And one of those conditions is that he is in a state of ignorance. He is in the condition of ignorance. Everyone in the material world is born into ignorance. And that ignorance is the cause of our condition, if you like. Because if you study, you'll find that the function of the senses are all based upon different levels of knowledge. Senses function under the mind. The mind functions under intelligence. So depending upon a particular type of intelligence, a particular type of mind, then we have a particular type of body. Just like the animal is not very intelligent. That's why we manipulate the animal. If the animal was very clever, it would become extremely difficult to manipulate it. Isn't it? Just like if you want to manipulate another human being, you have to be more clever than him. It is not that you can just exploit someone unless they're more stupid than you. If someone is more stupid than you, it's easy to exploit them. You can give them a good story. And they go, oh yeah, that sounds great. So that's why in the material world there are cheaters and cheated. Those who are more intelligent, they are cheating the less intelligent. That is called exploitation. Everyone is exploiting each other in this world. Just like we see that someone is more intelligent, so they know how to utilize matter. They know how to utilize, manipulate the material energy. Just like if we study America, what is the advancement of America is that they've been able to utilize matter better. But it's the same matter that's lying in Africa or in India or in any other country. It's not different materials. They don't have different materials. They have the same materials. But they are able to utilize them more because they have better knowledge. They have better knowledge. And Japanese are also Germans. Very good at utilizing this energy, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego. They can utilize very nicely. So similarly, we see that in the lower species, they are not so adept at utilizing. They are trying to exploit, but if a lion wants to kill, he has very powerful claws, big teeth. You see? But we can kill much better because we have guns. So we can shoot from up to, I don't know how far. You know how far you can kill?
The barrel like 50 is going to make it 2 miles and it can go through the tank.
So we have so many scientists here today. They can go through a tank at 2 months. You see? So it means more clever, more intelligent. Animal has to wait. Sometimes a lion is waiting 3 days before he gets a little reindeer, a gazelle, or what they call it. He has to wait 3 days, 4 days, hungry. But we can shoot 2 miles away through a tank. So this is very sophisticated to be able to do such wonderful things. But the object is the same. Just like Prabhupada said, a vulture, a hawk, can fly so high, 1 mile. But what is he looking for? The vulture is looking for dead carcass. You see? He's not looking for diamonds. He's looking for dead carcass. So if you put a whole hill of diamonds next to the dead carcass, he'll pick up the dead carcass. He'll leave the diamonds. So we're looking for diamonds. He's looking for dead carcass. We're looking for gold. We're not looking for dead carcass. So one man's food is another man's poison. All the various types of species, they have particular type of sense gratification. So for the vulture, he becomes very excited at dead body. We don't get excited, isn't it? It's not that we're thinking, I hope I go to the temple on Sunday feast for the only dead body dead. We don't get very excited. But vulture gets very excited because that is his sense gratification. He has been given that by God. That is his condition of life. His body is made for eating dead bodies. Has anyone seen a vulture eat a dead body? Yeah. He's very good at it. Expert. He knows how to rip it apart. And big vultures come. And they're very equipped. Nicely equipped. They don't need to gain anything from outside. All of their equipment is there. They are empowered to eat dead bodies. You see? They're empowered by God, just like the lion is empowered and the bird is empowered. Empowered means that they have what is called achintya shakti. Achintya shakti, inconceivable energy, just like the spider. Now, spider can catch flies, but spider doesn't fly. But he can catch flies. Flies don't catch spiders, isn't it? But yet, fly is flying and spider doesn't fly. But yet he can catch the flying thing. Now if you try to catch a fly, it's quite difficult, isn't it? But the spider can catch and he doesn't go anywhere. Because he has achintya shakti. He has the inconceivable power to catch the fly. That is his food, designated to him by nature. Everything is designated by higher authority. So we should study how this designation of life, we have a particular designated body, we are living in a designated condition, designated consciousness. So designation means it's being designated by someone else. Just like if you get designated a seat on a plane, isn't it? This is your seat. You sit on that seat. This is designated. So when you work, you get designated a particular type of job by the boss. So we are designated. That means that an intelligent person can understand that I have been designated by higher authority. Just like that animal is designated to function in a certain way. It's not that one day the vulture is a vulture and the next day he's a swan. Listen. It's not that one day the cockroach is a cockroach and the next day he's a poodle. Huh? Maybe he's thinking, hey, tomorrow I want to be a poodle. This cockroach life is pretty boring. These guys keep trying to step on them. But these poodles get nice treatment. Poodle parlor. They go to poodle parlor. I'd rather be a poodle. But he has no choice. You see? Because he's been designated that body. And once you have a body, what is the condition? You have to either enjoy or suffer according to that condition. Prakriti kriyamana. That according to Prakriti or nature, Kriya. What is the meaning of Kriya? Huh? Who knows? Kriya. Huh? Work. Yes. One is the Kriya. That the work is designated one type of function, actually. People, the function of, just like we call Dharma, Sanatan Dharma. What is the meaning of the word Dharma? Dharma means function. Everything has a designated function. Now Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that the living entity in conditional life has a conditional function. You see? Conditional function. Now, what is the difference between conditional function and unconditional function? That has to be studied. You see? Spiritual life means to study the difference between matter and spirit. So Krishna explains that. So what is the difference between matter and spirit? Is that one works under certain conditions and one doesn't. Spiritual energy does not work under any conditions. That's why Krishna says, the fools, when I come to the material world, they think that I am born under certain conditions. They think I function under certain conditions. But they do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. They don't understand that. It's very difficult for people to understand that Krishna has dominion of, because he was the body. My body, I don't even have dominion over my wife. I've been trying for 30 years. Or my children, or even my own body, I don't even have dominion over my body. Sometimes it's doing things that are very embarrassing. Nothing I can do about it. You see, I have to sit there and watch. Huh? So, intelligent person can understand that this body, I don't even have dominion over my body. Therefore, Krishna has come as body. Oh, he must be like me. Poor fellow. I feel very sad for him. He also was born here like me. Just like if someone is in prison and Prince Charlie comes to prison. Then they think, they got Charlie as well. Poor old Charlie got had as well. But Charlie's not coming to suffer. He's coming to see, to observe what is going on in the prison house. He's not coming to suffer. So Charles is all very happy when he comes to prison. I say, look at them in that room. New equipment is here. So they have TV cameras, reporters following Charlie around, and he gives his opinion and views about British prisons and how great they are, whatever. So meanwhile, the guy in the prison is thinking, they got him. But he's a fool, isn't he? He's an idiot. Just like there was one example, true story, that the Prime Minister of India, Rajiv Gandhi, he, you know, like Prime Ministers do, he went to this mental asylum. And he was looking around and he met one fellow. And he thought, it's a true story, he thought this fellow is very intelligent. What are you doing here? He said, you know, you're such an intelligent guy. And of course the guy sort of looked at him. So he said, listen, you shouldn't be here. You're too clever. He said, do you know who I am? Sanjeev Gandhi said to him, do you know who I am? Do you know who you're talking to? And he kind of said, no. He said, I'm the Prime Minister of India. And the guy says, shh, don't say that too loud. He said, no, I'm the Prime Minister of India. He said, don't say that, that's why I'm in here. You see? So the point is that the fool considers that, oh, this person, Krishna, oh, he was like me. He was chasing after young girls in the forest. I like to do that as well. I like to run after girls in the forest. Who doesn't like to run after girls in the forest? Beautiful girls. Yes, that is the nature. Or I like to have lots and lots of riches and wealth. So they think that Krishna has come and he's in need of these things. Therefore he had to have palace and wife or girlfriends. He's in need. So this example is very nice, that in the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhisthira, then Maharaj Yudhisthira nominated Krishna as the principal guest, the chief guest, one who presides over the yajna. So Sisupal, he objected. He said, this Krishna, he should not be the honored guest in this assembly, because he was found in the Vrindavan forest with so many young girls. Late at night. Did you know that? Like some gossip. He's giving the daily report, news report. So then the whole assembly was listening to Shishupal. Then Bhishmadev, who was Naistika Brahmacharya. Naistika Brahmacharya means he never passed semen in his life. Very powerful Brahmacharya. Naistika. So Bhishmadev stood up, he said, I am Brahmacharya all my life. And he said that one would consider my nomination, he said, but I nominate Krishna because although Krishna was in the forest late at night with so many gopis, young coward girls, he never once was agitated. You see? Never once agitated. You never read in Krishna book, Bhagavatam, that this gopi became pregnant by Krishna. And she had to have baby, Krishna's baby. So try and understand that when Krishna comes to the material world, he does not come here like you come. You come here because you are inadequate and you need sense gratification. So you come to the material world to enjoy sense gratification. That's why you need a body. If you're not given a body, you got no sense gratification. The only reason you can enjoy anything is because you've been given it. Just like if you have eyeballs, you can see. If you have no eyeballs, you don't see. Isn't it? Simple. Those who don't have any eyeballs don't see. So whatever you're given, that's what allows you. Just like what is that, blind as a bat? I think bats are not blind, but they say they're blind. But an owl is blind in the day, isn't it? So certain creatures see under certain conditions. But if the body is not favorable, your experience of sense gratification cannot be favorable. That means invalid, invalid. Just like when we have a body that's not perfectly situated, it becomes invalid. Invalid for what? What is it invalid for? Sense gratification. So therefore, the body is given to you because you come here because you need, you are vitally in need of ananda. We need ananda. Ananda moya vyashat. We need to enjoy ananda. Just like we want to eat very nice food. We like delicious food. Curd sabjis and thick cream. Isn't it? A nice one that we need it, vitally need it. We need to enjoy nice perfumes and smells. We need to hear people say nice things about us. How wonderful we are. How handsome and pretty we are. How intelligent we are. How advanced we are. We need that vitally. We are in need of all these things. We need to see beautiful things, nice scenery. People are flying all over the world to see something. They want to see the pyramids of Egypt or they want to see the jungles of Africa. Isn't it? They want to see this, they want to see that. So they're flying here and there. They're going to movies because they want to see something. They have to have videos and televisions because they're vitally in need of seeing. They want to hear nice music. They sit for hours. You know, there's one hi-fi system which the speakers alone cost £100,000 each. Did you know that? £100,000 each. There's a fellow who comes to manor, he sells. So for two speakers it's £200,000 and he has many customers. They are hi-fi addicts. So we need to hear, we want to hear. We want to hear the sweet tidings of our consort. Oh my Gucci Wucci, you're so nice. You're so strong and handsome and intelligent. You have such big muscles. Or something. And a girl wants to hear, oh, you're the prettiest thing I've ever seen in my life. We want to hear like that. Oh, really? You think like that? So we are in need. So we think that if God comes, he must also be in need. They don't know he's God, but they think Krishna has come out of need. So therefore, Krishna says, they're foolish people. They do not understand my transcendental nature because Krishna is covered by his curtain of Maya. You see, curtain of Maya, just like when you have on a stage, you have the curtain. You can't see what's behind the stage. There could be a whole arrangement behind the curtain. It's not until the curtain opens that you can say, oh, look, isn't that wonderful, isn't it? So sometimes everyone's sitting in the theater, the curtain is there, everyone's sitting anxiously. What is behind that curtain? So similarly, when Krishna comes, he has his curtain of yoga maya, mahamaya. And therefore, he is covered by that maya, so that those who try to understand Krishna, those who try to make Krishna an object of their sense gratification, they will never, ever be able to approach Krishna. Krishna can never be an object of your sense gratification. Everyone wants everything to be an object, just like these movie stars. Why are they paid high salaries? Because they're an object of sense gratification, isn't it? People want to see them, so they pay money to see them. So, therefore, big movie star, but they have to rehearse their lines, they have to go in front of the cameras, they have to be at certain promotions, they have to do so many things in order to satisfy their masters. Their masters are the paymasters, those who pay their money. So they're an object. They're an object for sense gratification. They're servants of their fans or their adorers. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna does not have to do anything. He can never become subjugated by the tiny living entity. The living entity in the material world can never subjugate God to do anything. Krishna remains, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. I am the master, Prabhava, just like we say Prabhu. I am the master of this material energy. This material energy is working under my dominion, under my, what is called, Maya Dakshina, Prakriti Suyate Chacharacharam, Ituna Nena Kuntaya, Jagati Paribhatate. It is all working with all this material energy. It is working under my direction. I am the one who produces all moving and non-moving beings. Vijaham, Krishna says, I am the seed of everything. I am the seed of existence. So therefore, all of this arrangement of the material energy is simply the sport of God. It is the sport of God. The material creation, when Krishna comes there, he comes to play. This is his playground. Everything is Krishna's playground. So, when Krishna comes to the material world, he comes to play, to enjoy. Therefore, he exhibits his internal potency. Internal potency means he shows how he is supreme enjoyer. Therefore people say, oh, mythological. 16,108 wives. Who could have 16,000 wives? Have you ever tried to have 16,000 wives? Even if you have 5 wives, you could go mad. Isn't it? Even with 2 or 3. 1 sometimes is enough. So 16,108 wives. And each one he gave beautiful palace. Oh, how can he do that? Even for 1 wife I had to save all my life to get a house. And we still haven't paid for it. We're still struggling with the arrears. How can this Krishna do this thing? So Krishna has a problem. Because if he does anything extraordinary, then people go, mythological stories. Fantasy stories. Stories about fairy tales of mythological creatures or something, like out of the Greek stories. And if Krishna doesn't do anything, if he simply gets a job in the labor exchange, then no one will be impressed. Suppose we give the story of Krishna that, oh yes, Krishna was born and then he got a job. He was driving a chariot. And then he got another job, but he got refused because he didn't have a good enough education. So what does Krishna do? If he comes there and does nothing, people will criticize. What is that? Nothing special. Why should he be God? Just like even our Sai Baba, he has to do something. He can't say, I'm God and do nothing. He has to produce a little gold mound again. Or some ashes. Isn't that? Or appear in a picture or something. He has to do something. Otherwise you can say, what has he done? So any type of so-called God in the world. They've all got to do something, isn't it?
Oh, he's God. Why is he God? Oh, because he did this.
But has anyone shown they use the universal force? Has anyone done that? All of these so-called gods that have come in the last thousands of years, have any of them shown a universal form? Have any of them spoken the Bhagavad Gita? Where do we see in any of them? Where do we see any of them producing such knowledge as Bhagavad Gita or manifesting their universal form? So if you study Krishna very carefully, you will see in every aspect, in knowledge, Krishna is supreme. He is the supreme lover. He is the supreme autocrat, king. He is the supreme warrior. He is the supreme renouncer. There is no one who is more renounced than Krishna. There is no one who is more pure than Krishna. There is no one more intelligent than Krishna. No one who has come to this world more powerful than Krishna. We don't have any example in the history of mankind of anyone more powerful than Krishna. We don't have. Do you know anyone who had 16,208 wives? Like Guinness Book of Records, isn't it? And maybe someone came after Krishna and he had 16,208 wives, but all with palaces equipped. Fully equipped with diamonds and jewels and marble and luxurious life. Every queen was living like, a complete aristocrat. And each one had 10 children. How many is 16,100 wives multiplied by 10? 10 children each wife. It's a lot of children, isn't it? You have to buy them all one set of shoes. You could be shopping a long time. Huh? But to speak of feeding them. But Krishna is feeding billions of living entities, billions and billions. There are so many elephants in the jungle. He is feeding birds, he is looking after everyone. 16,100 wives is nothing for Krishna. He can have 16 billion wives. And each one of them can live on their own planet. There will be no problem. Om Purnamada Purnamidam. Krishna is the Purnam. He is the complete. There is no inconsistency, no incompleteness. No inadequacy in God. So therefore, what we are talking about, even in the display of Krishna in the material world, is only a tiny display. Krishna says to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever you are seeing, it is only one tiny spark of my splendor. Behold my mystic opulences. With one small particle of his energy, he maintains the entire creation. There is no, when in the material world, if you take one from one, it leaves nothing. If you take one from one in the spiritual plane, one is still there. If 1 million universes come out of the body of Krishna, there is still another 1 million. It is not that by his Purnam means that everything, because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. You see, balance. He is the complete because he is sufficiently capable of supporting everything. We cannot support even our own bodies. We struggle our whole life to support one body, one miserable body, to keep it going, to keep it fed, to keep it alive, to keep it happy. Isn't it? Such a struggle. And yet, Krishna can support trillions of universes without even disturbing his prasada. You see? Krishna is enjoying in the Goloka eating prasada. So he is not disturbed even with a coward voice. He is enjoying, therefore, go. Go means senses. Govinda means one who gives complete pleasure to the senses. The planet of Goloka is for giving pleasure to Krishna's senses. We are all meant for giving pleasure to Krishna's senses. But we want to give pleasure to our own senses. Therefore, we are struggling. Krishna says the living entity in the material world is struggling very hard. Wherever you go, you see people struggling, isn't it? Struggling with the insurmountable power of material energy. We struggle day and night, morning, noon, and night. We struggle with the mind. We struggle with our bodies. We struggle with our jobs, our home,
of bank accounts, we struggle. And as you get older, the struggle gets greater, isn't it? Jhana. Jhana means all day. Then the struggle, because your equipment becomes useful, isn't it? You've been given a certain equipment, this body. Just like if you're given an old car, a 3-year-old car, will you be able to race up and down the motorway? You'd be lucky, isn't it? Even to reach the motorway. So similarly with our body. We've been given this body, but after a bit of time, it becomes more and more struggle to even make it work. It will end up where you will need more support than your bones. You will need sticks. Sometimes you need a frame, isn't it? You have to walk along with a frame just to keep you up. So the body is given to you so that you can enjoy it for a certain period of time. So Krishna says, time I am, the regulator and destroyer of all this world. Time regulates everything. No one can enjoy more than what is destined to enjoy. Just like when you're trying to enjoy anything, you've only got a certain amount of time. Everyone is raving about sex life. But how much sex can you have? Pigeons can have more. Everyone is talking about eating. But how much can you eat? Isn't it? You have to eat at a certain time. And you can only eat for a certain time. Just because you're a multimillionaire doesn't mean you can eat for 8 hours, is it? If you're a billionaire, does that mean you can eat for 24 hours? You become sick, isn't it? So you can enjoy for a certain period of time. The body is given to you for a certain period of time. Krishna says, time I am. So this time is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna, when he comes to the material world, he never goes past the age of 16. Navayogana. Navayogana means Krishna never gets old. You don't see any pictures of Krishna with an old beard and an old walking stick. Isn't it? You don't see any pictures. Whenever you see Krishna, he is blooming new. Govinda, Adi Krishna.
Like fresh fruit, not rotten fruit. We like everything to be fresh. Isn't it? Fresh. But in the material world, everything is influenced by time. It becomes rotten and stinking. Isn't it? Just like you buy your milk and then next day it starts to go rotten and stinking. Then you have to throw it. So everything becomes deteriorated by time. We like it fresh. But in the material world, things are apparently fresh, but actually they're not fresh because they're made up of inferior constitution. The material body is made up of inferior substances. Therefore, very quickly it decays. Deho shmenyata dehe kumaram yovanam jara daradarantara praptir vidastapanamuyate. Krishna says that this material body is passing from the youth, isn't it? When we were youth, we had nice bodies. Then we go middle age, we get a bit roly poly, fat. And then gradually we start getting old. Everyone goes through it. When you're young, you can laugh at the old, but when you're old, the youth are laughing at you. Just like Prabhupada said, in India they have what they call dry cow patty. You know, you put the cow dung on the side of the wall and it's drying. When it's dry, you can use it for the fire. So the dry cow dung is there and the wet cow dung is laughing. Ah, you're going to go in the fire today. But he doesn't know that in a very short time he will also go in the fire. So we also, all of us, we end up in the fire of the material world. Or we get fed to the worms. Give them an extra meal, isn't it? When they run out of vegetables. I always thought that worms in graveyards must be the happiest creatures. Because they get lots of bodies put in there all the time to have a good meal. So the body we have is useless. So therefore, but don't think when Krishna comes that he has such a body. So therefore we have to study Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he comes to the material world, he comes to show this is the real body. This is the transcendental body. Behold my transcendental body. Behold my transcendental power. Behold my transcendental opulence. Behold my transcendental beauty. Behold my transcendental name. You see? He's coming to show us. But we have no interest. We're too busy looking at other bodies. We are interested in chasing after this body and that body. You see? If you see how people are busybodies, isn't it? Busybodies after other bodies. Oh, I don't have time to read Bhagavad Gita. I'm too busy with my body. I'm busy with my other bodies, little baby bodies, mummy bodies and daddy bodies. So people don't have any time to study Krishna's body. But if you study Krishna, then you will understand all other bodies, because all other bodies are created by Krishna. So therefore, once one, just like the sun is coming in the sky, everything else becomes in its proper perspective. Otherwise, groveling in the dark. People are looking at bodies, just like these philosophers. They are looking, studying, what is it, Freud. Huh? Studying body. Oh, this is the reason. We are all animals. Monkeys. Chasing after sex. But doesn't understand why you don't study Krishna's body. Then you'll understand all other bodies. Because all other bodies are coming by the arrangement of Krishna. So Krishna creates the material body, but there's also a spiritual body. So therefore we have to understand that all of us are Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Krishna is Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Sat, eternal, fully competent. That Sat means not just eternal, it means that there is no inadequacy. Total completeness. Sat. Everybody wants this adequacy, not inadequacy. In the material world, everything is asat. What is the meaning of asat? It means inadequate. You see? Try and study Sanskrit language, but sat, fully adequate. Asat, fully inadequate. And chit. Chit means full of consciousness, cognizance. This body is not full of consciousness. The body is unconscious. If you chop your arm off, it's useless. Isn't it? Just like, what would be the use of walking around with a dead arm? Huh? You can say arm is a very nice thing, but would you like carrying a few in your pocket? Huh? If someone saw you walking down the road with a bunch of arms, and you say, well, I've only got two, now I've got eight. Huh? Because what is the use of dead arm? But when it is connected with consciousness, then it becomes so useful. So, therefore, consciousness is the superior arrangement. So, that transcendental body is chit, full of consciousness. No skin and bones and veins and pumps and machines, organs and things that go googly googly and do things. Not like that body. Krishna's body is not like that. And Ananda. Ananda means full of transcendental pleasure, not misery. Here everything is Nirananda. Means Nirananda means that which is the opposite of pleasure, misery. Yes, misery. Abrahma Bhuvala Loka. From the highest planets to the lowest. They're all a place of misery. Why? Krishna says we're in repeated birth and death take place. So we have to transfer ourselves to the plane of Ananda Moya Vyashat, to the spiritual plane. Therefore Krishna comes and he says, this is the plane where you belong, not this plane. You belong in my plane. So he comes to show a different plane. Try and understand that he comes down from the highest plane to this plane in order to show you, yes, here is Vaikuntha. This is what it looks like. And then people are still ignorant. So Lord Chaitanya comes and he shows how to capture that Vaikuntha. You see? How to capture it. Because it comes, Krishna shows it, but not everyone sees it because unfortunate. They're very unfortunate. Krishna says, first you surrender, then I will allow you onto that plane. But people are not ready to surrender. No, no, I have no time. I have so many responsibilities. I want to stay here. Things are going to get better here. New prime minister is coming. New government. They're going to make sure we all solve all our problems. They're going to install telephones and radios and televisions and so many gadgetry, so we're all going to be happy and live ever, ever after. So therefore, they have no interest. So Lord Chaitanya is coming and he's showing what is that plane of Krishna consciousness. Therefore it's called Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita, that plane of Amrita. Everybody wants Amrita. But they're looking in the wrong plane. They're looking in the material plane for Amrita. But he's saying, no, 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 you can get this Amrita simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Very simple. Transfer yourself by sound. The transcendental sound can take you like airplane. Just like when you want to go to another country, you transfer yourself by sitting in a plane, isn't it? And floating on the air, on the airwaves. So similarly, you can sit in the transcendental sound. Krishna's name is so powerful, it can carry the whole universe in it. And you can be transferred to the spiritual Goloka by this chanting. So Lord Chaitanya, in case anyone wasn't convinced, he came to show by practical demonstration the effects of chanting Hare Krishna. What is the effect? Because when Krishna came, he didn't... Krishna is not, his business is not to be the servant of anyone. Lord Chaitanya has come as the servant of everyone. Krishna's business is to demand, you surrender, you rogues and thieves. You're all here, you're a bunch of thieves stealing from me. You want to give it up, then you can come to me. But Lord Chaitanya is so kind that even the biggest thieves, he's saying, look, my dear friend, you simply add Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, and then you will get the mercy of Krishna. Okay, let's stop there. Any questions at all? Anyone have questions or points? We learn in December.
And you can point out that the difference between this point and artists of this world, if something isn't happened once, even though it's people only survive an instance, then it's unique. Mm. So surely the artist is able to say something that is unique by virtue of practice and that.
So it's uniquely. It uniquely doesn't last.
I'm just saying,
makes it unique.
I'm not.
I can understand your point.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
But what is the use? Just like if you have a plate of food and it disappears before you eat it. That's very unique. And people will be amazed. Oh, look, every time you go to eat it, it disappears. But how many people will come into your restaurant? Suppose you open a restaurant and every time you go to eat, it disappears.
Huh? Well, so it's not functional.
Huh?
So it's not functional.
Everyone will come to see, but no one will get very fat. So, something disappears, yes, it's wonderful. In this world, everything disappears. Mm-hmm. Everything. Even the planets. They disappear. So this is the world of disappearing. You see, you will also disappear. You're sitting here now, but you will disappear. I will disappear. We will all disappear. So it's wonderful, yes. Oh, look how everyone's disappearing. Just like when there's an airplane crash, 300 people disappear into the ocean. Front page news. Today, 300 people disappeared. Ooh, marvelous. It's hard to get rid of 300 people, isn't it? But they were there and then where did they go? So everything is disappearing. But disappearing is not really, it may be fascinating to the mind, but it's not the cause of pleasure. Only when Krishna disappears, there is viparalamba, separation. But generally, disappearing means sadness, just like you have beautiful child. And it falls in the water, gone. Everyone's fascinated. Oh, where did that child go? But you're crying. Your heart is broken. Oh, where's my child? Disappeared. Where's my wife? Disappeared. Where's all my lovers? They're all gone. Isn't it? Disappeared. So in the material world, everyone is trying to make things appear, but everything's disappeared. You see? We're trying to make it appear, just like I want to find a nice situation, but suddenly it disappeared. I wanted a nice wife, but she disappeared with the milkman. Huh? And took all my money. So in the material world, everything is disappearing, yes. And your body is also every day disappearing in front of you. Isn't it? Every molecule in your body, every cell is disappearing, disintegrating in front of your very eye. You look in the mirror every 10 years. Huh?
Well, I take your point, but also...
1 year you won't look in. The mirror will still be there, but you won't be looking in it. Because you have disappeared.
Won't be worse if there was no disappearance.
Huh?
Be worse situation.
Be worse.
What I'm trying to put that in.
You're more boring, would it?
Exactly,
we all stay around forever.
Exactly.
Huh? Maybe it's better we all disappear. That just shows you how inferior this energy is. You're better off without it. Isn't it? If it stays around too long, just like you see that when people come and visit you sometimes. You're thinking, I hope they don't stay around too long. These guys will eat me out of house and home. And they gossip or they this or that. So what do? You try to make it more unfriendly for them. Oh, I ran out of food today. There's no hot water. I'm sorry, I'd like to give you a drink, but we've got nothing in stock. Just like there was one man, he had many daughters. In India, you have to marry the daughters. So he got them married one by one, but he was such a wealthy man, they all started living in his house. So he thought, my goodness, this is going to get out of control. He had all these husbands of the daughters living there. So he thought, okay, how do I get rid of this lot? So what he did was every day he removed one item from the cooking. So if there was like a vegetable, he took it away. Then gradually the other vegetable. Then the rice went. Then this went and that went. So gradually as things were disappearing, these guys were thinking, I got to get out of here. This guy's going to starve us to death. So one by one, they all started moving away with them, taking the daughter with them. But there was one last one. He stuck it till the end. Until there was only salt. Every day. Finally he got down to the salt. So the man thought, this guy is never going to go. So he beat him on the head with a shoe. Get out of here. Chased him out the door. So that's the way we are in the material world. We're getting beaten. 1 minute this goes, then that goes, and that goes, and that goes, and we're trying to bring it back, isn't it? Just like now when you get old, you lose your potency for sex, so now they have drugs. Even at 80 years of old age, you can get excited now. They think this is bringing it back. Bring it back, bring it back. Somehow, it's gone, but bring it back. So, the thing is that what they can't do, they cannot stop old age. Old age will take everyone away. So everyone is disappearing. And it's true that if we stuck around too long, we would definitely be unwanted guests. We're not wanted here. Nobody wants us. Nobody wants anybody. So just like when the parents are there, they bring you up, and then as they get older now, in these countries, they stick them in a home, isn't it? Get them out of the way, quick. They'll get in the way of the kids, isn't it? They bring their children there and say, oh, move this lot out. In some countries, they eat them. They eat the grandparents. Sunday feast. So, that is the true fact, yes. We're not wanted here, neither does anyone want us to be here, neither do we want to be here, so better to move on, we think. But actually, what spiritual life means, better to move to Vaikuntha. Not that we move to another apartment. Let us move back to the spiritual world. Here we move from one apartment, one body to another. And simply different types of pleasure, different types of pain. But spiritual life means, human life means to understand, let me get out of this place. Why should I be content with such an inferior arrangement? Why should I tolerate such? That is intelligence, actually. Just like these materialists, they're not tolerating. Why should we tolerate? Why should we, what do they call it? Zero tolerance, isn't it? Poverty. Get rid of poverty. Get rid of disease. Get rid of all these problems. So the politician is preaching and everyone's going, oh, wonderful, wonderful. We'll elect him next time. He'll do better than the other guy. The other guy was useless. He promises loads of things, he gave us nothing. So this guy, he's even good looking. He's sure to be able to deliver the goods. And then after a while, get rid of him, bring in another, bring in another. Just like our dear Maggie Thatcher. When she first started, she was so popular. Listen, Maggie will get us going. Maggie will sort things out. And now everyone, they say, oh, what a horrible Maggie Thatcherism or whatever. They're grumping. At the time she was there, they were praising. Now they're grumping. Now Mr. Blair is the flavor of the population. Oh, popular Blair. Isn't it? Blairism. They call it Blairism. Things are going on since time immemorial. Just like Prabhupada was in France and there was a statue of Napoleon. And it said under the statue, there is no France without Napoleon. And Prabhupada said, where is Napoleon? France is there, but what happened to Napoleon? So that's the reality of life. We may try to put nice, cozy thing on it. But the reality is, yes, we are just simply actors appearing for our little performance. We've all done our little performance. And then we bow out. We all go out flat, isn't it? Well, as it says in the Bhagavad, we are dead bodies flapping for a few days. Just like if you have a dead body and you make it flap around for a few days. Huh? Then some people think, oh, what a woman. How that dead body is flapping. Huh? But what is the point of a dead body flapping? You can say, this body flaps better than the other one. Isn't it? This dead body is really good at flapping. That one's not as good. So similarly, our bodies are dead. And we may flap them around. And everyone's thinking, oh, look at that. Huh? Nice body flapping. But ultimately, they all fall down. So therefore, don't take shelter of these material bodies. Take shelter of spiritual body. And if you want spiritual body, then you have to chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So Krishna says of Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know, remember this, I also know all living entities. Every single living entity is known by Krishna, but me, no one knows. That is God. Nobody knows God. So that's the difference. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, we'll stop here. Now we have some chanting, arti, and our favorite time, prasad.